All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No Joel Blank today. Welcome into The Usual Suspects. Without The Usual Suspects, well, I'm usually a suspect, because look at me.
See? 12 seconds. 12 seconds.
Hey, man.
And it's we're off and running.
Huh? If we're going to live in America, we're going to speak on America. Like America's supposed to be talked about.
Oh, my God. We made it 12 seconds, and he's already made it racial.
He knew he was going to do that.
I mean, already made it racial.
All right. You white. You white. I mean, you're right. I shouldn't have gone there that fast.
This show, there's a black cloud over the show already.
It's dark
and
outside.
And his name is Jerome.
This is Championship Wednesday, people.
Oh, my God. Is it, though? Are we sure it's Championship Wednesday?
They
want
to call it Way Back Wednesday. It's Championship Wednesday.
No, it's Way Back Wednesday. The theme is in honor of Joel having his baby today. And we do have words.
Is this honoring Joel or is it honor of the baby?
Everybody. Lisa, Joel, everybody the baby.
Involved.
Yep, he sent pics. Everybody's healthy and happy. So congratulations to Joel.
Congratulations,
and
Joel.
And Lisa and the new baby. We don't have a name yet. No, I don't know if he's going to tell the people the name or not yet. I don't know.
They don't want people to
make
fun
of the name?
They're
very secretive. No, I don't think that's it. I think they're just very secretive, right? Like they.
Yeah, they don't want to necessarily put all the business in the
yeah.
Oh, the well, public. Like, when you're wealthy like that. You know, you don't want people all in your business. I understand.
You mean that's you know. I'm broke. I mean, I tell everybody
my
business.
Jerome. I ain't got nothing to hide. I ain't running from nobody or hiding from anybody.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. 713-780 ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. We're gonna have a fun time. Obviously, a lot of talk. I assume over the next 3 hours will be about those Stros and. That's the reason I call it Championship Wednesday. Baseball will crown a champion tonight. Who will it be? Is the question.
Man.
Oh, you don't believe? Man, you people who live in Houston for too long.
I've written this
a couple of times that these guys are different. This franchise is different right now. This organization is different. These players are different. They're not afraid. They're not scared of the moment. They're not, you know, going to be engulfed by that Houston fog that we've seen so many times.
Right.
That's not who they are.
Okay. But, I mean, See? You didn't need to add that at the end. Look, I guess as a Houston fan, I'm conditioned to be like, well, they're going to blow it. They're going to lose. It's, you know, I'm born and raised here. My whole life I've been a Houston sports fan, so I'm conditioned to it. You are right that this is a different team, obviously winning a couple years ago. But they're doing things that make you think that this is typical Houston sports. Who gets home field advantage throughout the playoffs because they have the best record in baseball and then don't win a game in the World Series? A Houston team.
Not yet.
Yet.
The reason you want the home field advantage
is
for game seven.
Yeah, well,
because if you win it before, then the home field didn't have anything to do with it.
I mean, I did pick them in seven, so I shouldn't be surprised that they've lost three games, because if you pick a team to win in seven, they're going to lose three games. It's just weird that the three games would be at home. That's what worries me about it. And I don't know, I heard Polillo before say something to the effect of, in game seven, the road team
has won more than they've lost.
Has won 20. Yeah. The home team has won 19.
Yeah, I think it's
over the last
39. 21-19, even.
That's
40 times.
That's typical. That would figure.
Yeah, but no time in the history of Major League Baseball, and we talking back. You know, it goes back to when they didn't let people like me play. There I go again.
Short people.
People that can't hit.
People with bad eyesight that can't hit and aren't coordinated? Man. That discrimination is uncalled for.
I'm coordinated.
Oh, are you?
You got to coordinate.
Oh, you did play basketball. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that.
Sad segue. We'll get into that for sure.
Damn it.
But yeah, there's never been a World Series in the 100 plus years of it where the road team has won every game through the first six games.
It's not going to happen now.
So this is something different. It's, I mean, I was on the Blitz yesterday and talking to those guys, and I was like, look, I thought the Astros would win it last night, but the Nationals aren't afraid.
No.
And, you know, they're not the kind of team. And AJ was saying, well, why, should they be confident? I was like, yeah, the Nationals should have been confident because they know they can win here. They know they have pitching that can get it done. They have a guy like Strasburg who could shut people out, and he pretty much did that last night after the first inning. And now you hand the ball to Scherzer who could.
Well, that's why they're not scared, and that's what I said going into this series is like, look, the Nationals were the only team in the playoffs that had the rotation that could match what the Astros have. And so if you have to, you know, in the Yankees series, I said, look, all you have to do is win the Verlander and Cole starts and beat the Yankees, and that's it. You're going to the World Series, and that's exactly what they did, essentially. So you couldn't say the same thing in this series because – the Nationals are over there saying the same thing. All you got to do is win the Scherzer and Strasburg starts. That's it. That's all they're worried about. And guess what? They got Scherzer and Strasburg to somehow to start all the road games.
Mm.
And
that's the way it lined up. But
yeah.
I, you know, especially
I mean, I don't
when,
think
when
they
Scherzer went out.
I was going to say, well, I don't think you Scherzer plan on Scherzer.
Couldn't go the other day.
Yeah, you don't plan that. They would have loved for him to start at home. But it just kind of works out that they get hit. I think this is advantage Nats going into this game from a rotation perspective. You want to try to get, you know, you want to get into that bully. But, man, last night.
But that's.
Didn't happen.
Think of what you're saying. Think of how Houston you're being right now.
Yeah. You don't think it's advantage Nationals was Scherzer versus Greinke?
Scherzer, who missed, all of July or August or whatever, and only pitched was just a few games in September and finally, you know, got up to where he can throw some. A guy who the Astros pounded early on the last time he started, but they didn't get him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He battled. He stuck around. A guy who just a couple days ago couldn't move.
Mm-hmm. That guy. Yeah, that guy. Yes,
that guy. Right.
One of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. That guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bad boy. But
With an offense that seems to be anemic against top flight pitching.
Greinke is Swiss cheese or something?
Yeah. I mean, he kind of is.
All offenses are
anemic against good pitching.
That's why they're
top
flight
pitching. If we were drafting from the pitchers just in the World Series from starters, you take a Scherzer over Greinke?
Over Greinke?
Yeah.
What's your point?
Answer the question. I got you, didn't I? Exactly. My point is that their starting pitcher...
I wouldn't have.
Yes, you would have. Every time you would have. That's the concerning thing for me. Obviously, advantage Astros when it comes to the bullpen, last night notwithstanding.
And the offense.
Yeah, and offensively. But really, I mean, both of these offenses have struggled at home, and that's what's really weird.
Yeah, but the Nationals scored one run in three straight games.
At home.
They don't have the depth of quality across the board like the Astros. The Astros haven't played to their standard. I mean, these guys average, almost six runs a game during the season, and they haven't been able to do that during the playoffs. And there are plenty of reasons for that, but they really just haven't been able to stack the hits together, back to back.
The fact that they scored three runs at home, you're right, those three. But you know how many they've scored at Minute Maid Park in the World Series? 24. That's eight a game. I'm good at math. That's eight a game. That's troubling, especially when you consider in those same games, the Astros have scored a total of nine at home at Minute Maid Park.
Well, the Astros haven't done what they usually do. Of that nine, six came in the three first innings. So those other 24 innings, they scored three runs. I'm better at math than you. 713-780-ESPN is your number.
It just worries me, man. But what you hope is that this is one of those things where, well, they're not going to lose all four at home. They're not going to continue to hit bad at home. They were the best home team in baseball. All that has to change
at some point,
right?
And it might change next year.
See,
look, Houston, y'all need to stop
panic.
This. Y'all need to stop expecting bad things to happen. Y'all need to stop thinking you're not good enough. Accept this. Accept that Deshaun Watson can take a team to a Super Bowl, even if the team is named the Texans. Mm. Accept that the Astros are not. This ain't Craig Biggio and Bagwell. This is not them. Those guys. Carlos Correa, who is hitting about 85 in the whole playoffs, has more home runs in these playoffs than Biggio and Bagwell had combined in their entire career. These guys are better than that. They're better than Houston's ever been. They're the best organization we've ever seen. They're not going to lose tonight. They're better than that. They got the best manager.
Save this. Save this for me.
They're not going to lose.
I'm going to make this my ringtone.
Y'all got to get off that.
Do we still have ringtones, by the way? Do they still do that? I know Jerome has it on his flip phone.
I thought they exercised this in 2017.
I did, too.
And he would come back 2 years later, and y'all are already panicking.
It's sad.
The guy hit me on Twitter the other day with, man, Bregman sucks. I'm like,
no,
dude, stop.
Yeah, that's not true.
Get a hold of yourself.
Yeah.
Calm yourselves.
I hope you're right. I do want them to win. If you look at it objectively and you start checking boxes, you know, like, okay, rotation starter wise, who's advantage Nats? Bullpen, advantage Astros. Lineup, advantage Astros, but I don't know. At the top of the lineup, they're just as good as the Astros. Trey Turner scares me from getting on base. Just as much as George Springer does. Rendon is just as good a hitter as anybody in the Astros lineup, including Jose Altuve. Is he not?
Are you done? Are you done watching the Nationals fans? You get a whole video on how Houston's better than D.C.
Yeah,
now you're doing a whole show on how the Nationals are better than Astros.
Did you hear this?
You're making me sound like a homer.
I know I'm trying. Did you hear this last night where they said Howie Kendrick over the last 3 years has the highest batting average in baseball? Did I hear that right?
I didn't hear that.
I got to look that up because I thought, no way, Howie Kendrick? Mm-hmm. But that's what they said. Now, maybe they were talking about Rendon. I don't know. But Howie Kendrick was at the plate. I thought they said it about him.
Rendon's
but
a bad
still,
boy.
They can hit.
You know, he's. I mean, that's why he's you know, in the running for the MVP. I mean,
all that said, Astros in seven. That's what I said.
Well, then stick with it, man.
I got that Houston in me, man. I can't get it out. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Whose crappy song you playing?
Babyface. You don't like the song?
Who is this?
Not this one.
I don't particularly like all the songs on my list. It's like one of those things I just want to get done. Barry
so
kind of knows that.
Well, you have no chance of winning this little competition.
Mariah Carey, Always Be My Baby. I was like, yeah, he mailed it in.
What'd you do? Google song titles with the word baby
in
them?
Absolutely.
Bro, have you ever heard the Beatles song? Everybody's trying to be
no,
my baby.
How does it go? Or the John Michael Montgomery song. I've never heard.
Have y'all ever played John Michael Montgomery on your list? Yeah. I didn't even see that. Oh, my God.
Britney Spears. I've heard that song.
I know, worst.
I don't know the Beatles song. I don't know nothing about them.
No?
Have y'all ever played Beatles on this show?
Sure.
Yeah, probably.
Y'all get desperate, don't you? We'll be back to talk about who's desperate tonight. The Nationals or the Astros. What's going to happen? Come on, Houston. Quit whining about your team. It ain't over till it's over.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We worked really hard to get home field, and we're happy to play at home. We have no problem playing at home. This place will be rocking tomorrow. We've won a ton of games in this ballpark. This series has been very weird. If I'd have told you the series was going to be 3-3, going to a game 7, I don't think there's a person in the building that would have assumed that all road games or road teams were going to win. We just got to make sure that last one's not the same.
A.J. Hinch talking about the Astros' home field advantage. They set a franchise record, led the major leagues in wins at home with a 61-20 record. Best team in baseball, best team at home, gets game 7 at home. And Barry Laminack says they're going to lose.
No. No, no, no. Stop
to the,
it.
To the phones
I picked
we go.
Them and get, no.
Apache.
I picked
Welcome
them in
to the
seven.
Usual
they're
suspect.
They're not going to lose. I hate you.
Tell Barry what's going to happen tonight, Apache.
Why did I even agree to this?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, sir?
What's up, man?
I'm good. I was just thinking about how the path of the game would have changed if Strasburg would have, or Yuri Gurriel would have hit that home run and took it to 3-0 as opposed to striking out and then them going out of the inning.
Oh, that was huge. I mean, he got a good piece of that. Had it been over about 3 feet, it would have fell into those cheating little Crawford boxes up against the wall, and they would have had Strasburg rocking. They weren't going to pull him right then, but it could have changed the game.
I tell you what, another one was when second and third and one out, Altuve at the plate. He strikes out, and then Brantley grounds out, and that's it. I mean, that's not a ball game, but that's another big opportunity. Kind of surprised that they don't play small ball there or do something to try to, you know.
Altuve out there chasing, though. You can't do that with Altuve.
Man,
He's
I don't know.
He's the best in the game.
He can bunt
you're,
for a hit.
You're over here talking about Howie Kendrick leading – baseball in average for the last 3 seasons, dude playing half a season in 40 games last year.
I didn't make the stat up. I just reported it.
The real leader in hitting in baseball last 3 years is Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
You don't take the best hitter in the game.
You wouldn't bunt?
No.
Squeeze play?
No. You don't do no desperate squeeze. Now, if Jose decides to pull that out on his own, fine, but I'm not going to take the bat out of his hand. He's too good. I mean,
I agree. And then he struck out.
He's much too likely to hit a 3-run homer. And he was trying to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jose Boy. Was like, oh, I'm going to hit this. I love him to death.
But you know he's chasing sliders away. Now, he's very Bagwell and Biggio-like in that regard. He will chase a slider away. A lot of people will, but Altuve for sure. You, if you've seen him strike out, probably own something away that he's chasing, breaking ball away.
But I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at his aggression. I'm not mad at him going forward and he's been the best player offensive wise for the Astros throughout the playoffs here this season. And I don't even think it's hindsight. It's 2020 because you don't know if that would get it done either.
Yeah, I mean you needed six more runs to win the game. So
but they would have played it differently. As well,
yeah,
you know, with the lead,
Strasburg, and he goes 8 1/3. That might have made a difference. Pitch count up because I heard Charlie say in that particular inning, it allowed him to go deeper because that was like eight. That was eight pitch.
He was in and out. At one point, I looked up and Verlander was at like 75 pitches. Took him four innings to get those 12 outs. Took him 75 pitches, and Strasburg was at like 36. I mean, it was half of that. It was ridiculous.
I saw that, and I'm thinking, listen, Verlander's got to throw 140. I don't give a damn. Throw your arm out if you're cruising.
But he couldn't.
He wasn't through the four. I mean, it was 2-1 Astros four. It fell off in the fifth.
But he wasn't cruising. That's the problem. That's why it took so many pitches to get out of that. He couldn't get his changeover over. Curveball over.
Yeah.
Couldn't find the slot. For a slider, so he was scared to throw the curveball because he couldn't get it where he wanted to be, and then when he got to the fifth, he slipped up on the slider that got yanked out of here, and so when he needed to throw the slider to Soto, he was scared. He said, "I couldn't throw the slider."
Yeah.
So he threw a fastball.
Fastball up.
Soto just abused it. I mean, he beat that like, ooh man, he hopped on that one.
There's nothing worse than when that guy does something good because he's so cocky in the batter's box.
Beautiful. I love it. That's what I was going to say.
You're an Astros hater. Okay. Well, now we got to do it. So you're rooting for the Nationals.
That's got nothing to do with Astros. I'm rooting for entertainment. If you're not entertained by this guy, you're the problem. I will honestly say, when I'm just going to get into that, I can honestly say I thought for certain that Bregman literally just was so excited that he forgot
to get rid of the bat.
No way. He was just in the moment and forgot to flip it. I really thought it could because I
did
never
he say
seen
why
it.
He did it.
He didn't say why.
Did anybody ask?
He just apologized. I mean, he apologized.
Oh, he did?
Oh yeah, he said he got caught. He did say he got caught up in the emotion or something like that.
Uh huh.
But I'd never seen it.
I've never seen that either.
Since I've never seen it, I thought, oh, he just and. And he ran past the base and like, what do I do with this damn bat? So I still think there's a chance he just completely forgot. Now, Soto was like, let me get a hold of one.
Yeah, let me.
I'm surprised he didn't run around the bases, get the third, and lead a bat. Just drop it and break and hit me. Hand left for me. He throw that over the dugout for me, dog.
That would have been great.
I would have loved it.
Oh, boy.
It would have been
It would have served him right, though.
It would have been a fight.
Because you saw Altuve's face after Bregman did that? It was like, bro, you can't be doing that. Don't do that.
It doesn't bother me at all. I think those unwritten rules of baseball is really stupid anyway.
You're right, but I think that Soto at least has enough respect for Cole and Verlander that if you notice his antics in the box, didn't really do him with those two. Mm-hmm. He'll do it when an Astros reliever comes in, you know, Davinsky or something like that. Oh, he's doing it all. He's grabbing the crotch and all that. But on the mound with Verlander,
a man
Cole,
can't even grab his junk now? Is that one of the unwritten rules?
Do what you want to do, man. Do what you want to do.
White man write the rules, don't they?
Nope, not at all.
You know the old prior joke. White brother walk around holding it. Y'all took everything else.
Oh, trying to hang on to it. That's outstanding. Hey, I noticed you brought Popeyes.
Yeah, for me. Yeah. Well, I ate there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You got a problem with Popeyes?
No, I'm just curious. I guess you just. I feel like you tried to bait me into that. Like you was like, you know what I'm gonna do. I'm going to stop and get some Popeyes and just see what Barry says about it. I feel like you were baiting me into that.
No, this is completely innocent.
Yeah, sure.
Hungry man thing.
You probably just had that old cup left over in the car. You're like, you know what? You probably.
A black man got Popeyes cup just sitting in the car?
Yeah, no, for sure. Have you seen my car? I have fast food all over the place.
Well, I got to be Popeyes.
I mean, you brought it, not me. Did you see? Like you know how petty Popeyes is? They're bringing back their chicken sandwich on a Sunday.
Oh, just
because Chick-fil-A is closed, I like that level of pettiness right there. Good for you, Popeyes.
They act too black, though. The one I just went to has got a sign up. I had noticed that maybe that's part of the advertising. They got the chicken sandwiches up there, and the quote from the chicken sandwich is, "Be right back." Now, dude, you 3 months late. How black are you? You have to be right back.
It showed up late. Damn, you're late to your own party. That's great.
Speaking of comedy and laughs, we're going to have some when we come back and talk a little bit about Pops. John Witherspoon passed away. Rest in peace. I ain't talking about Playboy, because silicone parts are made for toys. I want them real thick and juicy,
so find that juicy double. Mix a lot's in trouble. My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Let me tell you something. A lot of people don't know this about me. I was back in the Civil Rights Movement with Martin Luther King. Yeah, I was back there. I sure did. Fought for the rights of all men. We had the Vietnam War then. Yeah, more than. Plus, we had the Civil Rights Movement at the same time. You know, you're talking about somebody protesting every day. I was out there every day. I got hit in the head with a billy stick. Soldier knocked the shit out of me. Now let me tell you something about being hit in the head with a billy stick. When the National Guard tell your ass to move, get the fuck on.
Man.
It's the late now. Unfortunately, great John Witherspoon. And I mean, it's the Boondocks granddad is some of the funniest stuff I'd ever seen. And I don't even watch cartoons.
Yeah,
I've never even seen an episode of The Simpsons, so I wasn't hip to Boondocks until much later.
Yeah,
and then one of my boys said, "Man, you really need to check this out," and I just start binge watching it. Just hilarious,
so good.
And he's just killing it. But he's been around for so long and has done so much.
I mean, I really first noticed who he was from Boomerang. When you got to coordinate, you got the mushroom belt. That's when I was like, who is this dude? Because he is so funny.
And he'd already been in the game for a minute.
Yeah. And then Friday, obviously. But then, he's done it all.
And not only has he done it all, he was here in town 3 weeks ago,
a month ago or so. It was like today. Yeah, a month ago today.
Yeah, a month ago today, Barry Laminack opened for him.
Yeah.
You know, your set was, you killed it. If y'all haven't
seen. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Barry in action, he's way funnier on stage. And he ain't really all that funny on the show. But y'all listen anyway, so that's good. Keep listening. Pay the man some money because he be needing it.
Yes. Amen. Let the church say amen. I mean,
Y'all don't even have to go in. Just stand outside, and when he leave, give him a nickel.
If you see a tip jar next to the front door, that's mine. Just throw some cash in there.
Barry killed it, but I'm telling you, and I hadn't seen Witherspoon on stage in 20 years. He's 77 years old, like I say, passed away yesterday. He brought it. He was rolling, and it was a much longer set than
He does an hour.
He was just going.
He does an hour.
Oh, man, it's killing it.
Yeah, 77.
And he wasn't done when he was done, was he?
No. So, you know, I didn't tell the story at the time because I didn't want to mess up Pop's game. But that was one of those weekends I will never forget.
Yeah.
Because, so we had shows, I think Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think we had one show Sunday, maybe. I don't remember exactly, but I think it was Saturday night is what it was. He comes to, so Ben was the MC, and he was also very funny.
Oh, yeah.
And Ben a Damn Fool on Instagram, by the way, if you want to go check him out. But he pulls him aside. He goes, "Hey, Ben, let's go to a strip club." And Ben's like, "Pops, I don't really go to strip clubs, man." He goes, "What's a good one? What's a good one? Where are we going to go?" So here Ben goes on Yelp.
That's how cool Ben is. Huh?
That's how cool Ben is. Ben goes to Yelp to find a strip club. So he's like, "Well, Pop, look at this one. This one right here, it's in Greens Point, but it's got like a 4.9.
Oh, Lord.
Pops doesn't know what Greens Point is, nor does his handler who's with him. They were like, "Let's do it." And so they come to me and they're like, "Barry, you want to go to the strip club with us?" I was like, yeah. So I'm not going to not go to a strip club with John Witherspoon for the stories. Seriously. Are you kidding me? Yeah,
indeed.
I texted Jerome because Jerome was at the show. I was like, "Bro, I'm about to go to the strip club with John Witherspoon." He was like, "This is just amazing how good these stories are going to be." So I texted my wife. I was like, "Hey, babe, I'm going to be real late. I'm going to go to a strip club with John Witherspoon. I'm not passing up this opportunity to hang out with Pops.
You can't.
At the Butt Naked. I'm not doing it."
That's once in a lifetime.
She was like, "I get it." She was cool. She was like, "I get it. See you tomorrow." So they tell me where it's at. It was called Bucks. It's called Bucks. I don't know. It's
Why
in Greens Point.
Like,
I don't know. I mean, you know, it was.
I used to live in Greens Point, but that was a minute ago. It wasn't no Bucks then.
No, it was something else. St. James.
I was there opening night. St. James. They had a pool and everything back in the day.
So, damn, you really did.
I'm serious.
So they you know, we all leave in separate cars. So I get there first. And as I'm walking in, as I'm standing in the parking lot, these dudes pass me, and one of them recognizes me from the show.
Wow.
He was like, "Oh, snap."
He's on Sports Show every Sunday night, KPRC Channel 2.
No, he recognized me from the comedy show.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
I swear to you, he said he was at the show.
So it was packed, though.
He goes, "Oh, my God, dude, you're super funny." I said, "Thanks." He goes, "Are you here by yourself?" I was like, "No, Pops is coming." He's like, "What?" He's like, "Oh, this is great." So they go get in line. I'm waiting on Pops. And then the guy says, because this is important to the story later, he goes, "It's BYOB. There's no alcohol. They don't serve alcohol here. So it's an all-nude strip club, but they don't serve alcohol. So you got to bring your own." And I was like, "Well, damn.
Oh, it's the butt. You went to a butt-naked club."
Yeah.
So no, I wouldn't know about that.
I was like, "We didn't know that." He goes, "Well, there's a store around the corner. They don't have alcohol, like, you know, liquor, but you can buy beer." Mm. I was like, "Well, I'll talk to Pops and see what he wants to do." So they pull up, him and his handler. And I said, "Pops, it's an all-nude, but they don't have drinks." He was like, "What does that mean?" I was like, "It means we can't drink. He's like, "I don't care. Whatever. We'll figure it out." And I was like, "Okay." So we get in line and you have to go through a metal detector. And he's, I don't know what it is, but everything. He's like, what is this? Why are we doing this? What is this? I was like, it's just a metal detector, Pops. You got anything in metal? I ain't got nothing on me. Do I look like I got anything on me? Like, he is just like that off stage, right? So I'm laughing. I put my keys in my phone. He goes, what is it? What are you doing? I was like, I'm just putting my stuff through. Pops, we're going to go through. So then we're standing in the line just past the metal detector. And there's only like four people in front of us. He goes, it get like 30 seconds of silence. And he goes, what are we doing? What's going on? What's going on here? What are we waiting for? I was like, we got to pay the cover. I'm not paying no damn cover.
You rolling with John Witherspoon and you like, waiting in line?
I said, I got you, John. I'll pay your cover. It's like 20, 25 bucks. And I'm like, I'm here for the stories. He's like, nah. You ain't paying no cover. I ain't paying no cover. And then whoever his handle was, he ain't paying no cover. And the guy that saw me in the parking lot was standing at the door. And I was like, hey, man. And John goes, get a manager. Somebody get a manager for me right now. Go get the manager.
Who in charge?
And he pointed to that dude, and that dude goes, yes, sir. And he ran off. And he comes back, and there's this big white dude standing in the middle of the doorway. And he looks, he goes, oh, snap, he's good. And points at John, goes, he's good. And the rest of them are half price. I was like, what? So then John goes, nah. Y'all just come with me. Come on. And we just walked in. Yeah, he was like, no. Ain't nobody paying. So we walked in and immediately all the hoes just flocked to John Witherspoon. I mean, they recognized him immediately, obviously.
Right.
The ones who are on stage dancing, like she stops. She like lays on her stomach. She's like, oh my God. Like they don't care. They just, the whole club basically stopped when he walked in, right?
I can imagine.
So like three managers come over to us, whatever y'all need. And then and Pop's like, well, where's a good place to sit? They're like, come with us, Mr. Witherspoon. They take us right back to the VIP, kick somebody out of their table, like move them to the corner, put us right in the middle of VIP, big table. And it's just three of us, and we're expecting one more. Big table. No wristband, no money, no nothing, just straight to VIP, right? So we sit down. And it was like ants on, like you kicked an ant bed. I mean, there were strippers and hoes just flocking from all over.
There's a difference.
And well, that's a good point. So, I told Ben, the MC, I said,
that's just jokes for you strippers out there.
I said, yeah, right.
I don't want to offend the strippers.
I told Ben, I've never felt more important and more insignificant at the same time than when you roll with John Witherspoon to the strip club. Yeah. Because, like, when we got there, like, oh, whatever we wanted, right? And then all the hoes just flocked to him. I could have had $3,000 in cash on the table.
They wanted
nothing to do with me. Nothing. And I didn't care. I was like, whatever. So then he's like, I'm thirsty. What do we got to drink? And I was like, Pop, I told you. Pop, they got nothing. And this manager's like, what'd he say? What does he need? What does he want? I was like, bro, he said he wanted, you know, we don't have no alcohol. We didn't know. He goes, I got you, right? And then he comes back, and we got champagne. We got all kinds of stuff. Pops ordered a pizza to go. That is so gangster. At a fully butt naked, you got a pizza to go. And he was like, I want this on it. I want that on it. Like, we were just balling, right? I think he put $100 on the table for the ladies or something. But that was it, right? Just to take care of them. But it was insane. And what's crazy is it was me. And then, of course, his handler is black and Ben is black. Ooh. And I think they thought I was the manager.
Like you in charge.
Because they were like,
you know, that's how they do.
They would come over and be like, if you guys need anything, let me know. I'd be like, I'm just here. Talk to him. They were like, listen, is this guy bothering you? We'll get him. We'll have him removed. Like, we'll just. It was the craziest. That's and then, like, every time I looked up, I'm not lying, he had something in his mouth. Every time I looked up.
And you're not talking like, pepperoni.
No. Just why? And then so he tells
team and he went at the same time.
Man, so he tells me at like we're getting ready to go. He goes, Barry, who do I talk to about getting these two lovely ladies into the show tomorrow? I said, I'll handle it, Pops. I'll handle it. So I asked him. I was like, what's your names? And the first one goes, what's Al? Oh, my name's Alice. I was like, look.
No.
I can't leave your stripper name at the box office. That's not on your ID. I mean, I know it's on your stripper ID, but that is not on your Texas driver's license. What's on your driver's license? So they tell me.
She said, Alize, like I said.
Right? So they give me the names, and the next night, I think it's Sunday night, I leave them at the box office, and I go in the green room. I'm like, hey, just so you know, John, I got those ladies' names. He goes, what are you talking about? I was like, you said to get those two ladies' names and leave. He goes, them bitches ain't coming. I was like, what? He goes, them bitches ain't coming. I was like, but they seemed really excited, John. I'm so naive.
He talked to you like you Craig and them.
Man, yeah. I was like, I'm all naive. I'm like, but they seemed really excited and they gave. He's like, boy, them bitches ain't coming. So, end of the night, show's over. We're all done. We're shaking hands. He's like, you're really funny. Do you work Charlotte? I'm like, no. He's like, I need to get you into Charlotte. I need to get you into this. I'm like, that's cool. I said something. He goes, oh, I was walking out. He goes, oh, by the way. And I stopped and I turned around. He goes, I told you them bitches wasn't coming. They never showed up. He's like, I've been doing this too long, young cat. Oh, it was so
That's
good.
Awesome.
Oh, it was amazing. That's so much hilarious. Fun. Rest in peace to John Witherspoon, man. One of the best to ever do it on and off stage.
It doesn't get any better than that when you get to hang out with somebody that you admire. And
oh,
they,
my God.
And they bring it. Yes. And he's like. How he is on stage,
yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
That's how he
he's a ball buster off stage. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I saw a post from his son on Twitter, you know, my dad died today, and the son said, we go at it and, played a dozen back and forth, he and his dad. And they're like boys more than father and son, and that's how he did it with everybody.
You know, people don't realize he came up with Letterman and Leno. And he was like, I remember Howie Mandel used to put these gloves on his head like a weirdo. Like, it was just, Pops knew everybody.
I saw a thing where David Letterman is the godfather to one of his children.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's how close
he's a big deal in comedy.
Good stuff, man. That was fun. It's a strip club.
Oh, it was so much fun.
And one of the you say he has something in his mind. What you have in your mind?
Nothing. I'm minding my business. They didn't want nothing to do with me.
We're
going
to go to break on that lie.
I'm trying to impress you. You know that.
I know. Yeah. Now, where'd you get the mushroom, Sherry? I got to know.
Well, the secret is you got to coordinate.
Uh-huh.
Most people don't coordinate. See, you got to coordinate.
Yes, that's what you did.
Yeah. See, when you saw me, you saw the mushroom shirt.
Mushroom shirt.
Bang. Mushroom shirt.
Mushroom shirt.
But see, you can't stop with the mushroom shirt. You got to go on.
I would have stopped that
shirt. No, you got to keep going.
Okay.
Now, let me show you something. Look at that.
Oh, you got on a mushroom belt. Gerard, did you know your pops had a mushroom belt on?
Yes.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back into the show. Almost done with an hour here.
And that went fast.
Yeah, that was, you tell a good 48-minute story like you just did.
Oh, come on now. I left out a bunch of stuff.
Part two of Gary Parties with John Witherspoon coming up in hour number three here.
You know, it is funny because there was one thing we had to get to break. But when we were in the green room on Sunday after the story, and if you're just tuning in, go back to the podcast when hour one is posted. I told a story about going to the strip club with John Witherspoon. But in the green room, I was like, man, you were having fun last night, Pops. He's like, yeah. And I said, boy, they were taking pictures. Aren't you worried about that? And he's like, oh, yeah, man. I hope none of them pictures end up on the internet. I was like, oh, you're on the internet, Pops. He was like, what?
It's already done.
I was like, yeah, you're on their Facebook page and everything. He was like, nuh-uh. So I had to pull up the Bucks Wild Facebook page. And fortunately, the only picture was of him with our waitress. And it is out there. So if you go to Bucks Wild Houston on Facebook, you'll see the picture of Pops with our waitress, who was very nice. Like, she really took care of us and everything. But he was like, oh, Lord, I hope none of them pictures with me with one of them boobies in my mouth. Oh, Lord. My wife is going to kill me. I was like, I'm pretty sure she knows, Pops. Plus, you're 77. She ain't going to care.
That's funny.
Yeah, he was great.
And then 3 weeks later, he's gone.
Man. So rest in peace to Pops.
Yeah. Indeed. Sad tale. Ran into Lance coming in.
Uh-huh.
And he was having that same Houston phobia thing that you have going on about. But he said, you know, he was like me. He's like, you know, but these guys are different. One thing that he brought up, and last night was so hectic, especially on deadline writing story and stuff. I didn't even mess with the Nationals at all. I only went to the Astros clubhouse. Apparently, Strasburg said that
he was told by his manager that the Astros caught him tipping pitches early on.
Inning one.
And then he straightened that out and took care of business.
He went into the tunnel with his pitching coach. And they basically decided that he would still do the movement. It's a glove wiggle. So when you're trying to get like grip on a breaking ball, sometimes you're trying to bury the ball in there, get your grip right, so you kind of wiggle the glove.
It's a hit and a half.
Yeah. And so he started doing that on his fastball. And it completely baffled the Astros because what they thought they had a tell, the Nationals were smart enough to not make the tell go away.
They used
it against them.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's why he dominated, because look, Strasburg is still dominant. But he did say that afterwards in a post game interview that, yeah, they told me about it. They were on me in inning one. Me and my pitching coach went to the tunnel. We worked it out. We came back out and we got it. You know, we figured it out and used it to our advantage.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
But like Lance's point, just, I hadn't really considered it until he brought it up. You know, that's interesting. He said, can these guys not hit unless they have caught a guy tipping his pitches? Because it seems like that's what they've done. When they catch you tipping, they take advantage of it. And otherwise, their offense has been, you know, pretty spotty.
Yeah, you feel like that they've become almost too reliant.
They're dependent on
it. Yeah, too dependent on it. Because it's like, well, if we don't know what's coming, just go back to being a hitter.
Just play ball.
Yeah, just play ball. And you feel like maybe they're in their own head a little bit because they got so smart and they did it so many times to so many pitchers that eventually, I'm surprised it took this long. And I didn't even think about it, to be honest with you. But I'm surprised. There's some intelligent minds in baseball, and I'm surprised it took this long for somebody to flip that on them and use it against them.
Right.
But it happened. And so now, if you're the Astros going forward, when you catch somebody tipping pitches, now you gotta wonder, yeah. So that might have messed the whole thing up, taking all the mystique away. And I don't know that it's all the hitters. Like, I don't think a guy like Michael Brantley is up there relying on tipped pitches to get hits. Mm-hmm. I don't think Altuve either. But yeah, guys like Bregman and Correa and some of those guys, if you can get an advantage and know what's coming, because Bregman loves playing mind games. Remember a couple years ago when he faced Chris Sale, and I told the story earlier. But he was in the box. He was expecting. He knew he was going to throw a breaking ball, right? But he was wanting him to think it was going to be a fastball. So Bregman steps out and shakes his head like he got fooled, knowing that Sale would throw him a fastball after that pitch sequence, and that's the one he hit and took him deep on. And he even said so afterwards. He goes, yeah, I deked him. I wanted him to think that I didn't know that was coming so I could get him to throw that fastball, and he did. That's how Bregman is, though.
You know what? That's just smart baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And the Astros, they have a smart owner. They have a smart GM. They have a smart organization. They have an extremely smart manager. And they have smart players.
Yeah.
These guys are baseball players, but they're thinkers. They're not. They don't have a whole lot of guys who just live off of, you know, pure athleticism.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys put in the time and the work, and they study their craft. So they don't need the advantage of tipping. They're just smart enough to find it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
for sure.
That's part of what. But maybe tonight they just need to
just play ball,
relax, release,
just go out and let it go. Just
put a nipple in your mouth and then go on with it. Right?
Just do it. Yep. Something, man.
Why were y'all? I know we're out of here for the break, but why were y'all talking so much about breastfeeding yesterday?
What were we talking about? Breastfeeding yesterday?
It just seemed like every time Joel would mention Nikki, throw breastfeed up there.
They like to say that I have man boobs and stuff like that.
Oh.
That's the only reference I can think of.
Oh, okay. I thought it was you would breastfeed off his wife, but he was saying you would breastfeed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I totally
forgot
about that.
You would be the feeder, not the feedee.
Joel was making,
Oh, okay. It was out of context, so I could, but it happened so many times in a short frame. I was like,
yeah, you know how we do.
There must be a breast.
We're like pit bulls.
Had a breast issue.
On this show, we're like pit bulls.
Yeah,
if we see a weakness,
aggressive.
We latch onto it.
I just want to keep abreast of what's going on.
Oh, I see what you did there. Wow, it's good to see Joel never left. Sweet.
1 hour down, two to go. We'll be back with more Usual Suspects in a minute.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.